Friday morning, you know, it is off and running. The NASCAR season is going, and it is time for...
All your NASCAR news is here. Time now for the Loose Lug Nuts with Clint Wright and Jacob Bassett.
Well, Daytona has come and gone again. Kyle Busch has tried 20 times. I think he had a good car. I really do, but he got caught up. Now, listen, I don't know if you guys actually paid a lot of attention to what he said when he got out of the car. Clint's shaking his head. He didn't care for old Lug Nuts too much, did he?
Well, like he said, one of the fastest cars in the field was in a hurry to get to the accident, and, buddy, he found it.
It was kind of like what Rusty Wallace said about somebody several years ago, and I won't name his name. Don't want to embarrass him. He was a past champion, but Rusty Wallace said, well, he come out of turn four and run out of talent. So, anyway, listen. We're going to pick a beef here, okay? I'm going to get us started, and y'all not going to like what I got to say. I'm not saying that the old-time 80s and 90s drivers were better than the ones today. I'm not saying that at all. But NASCAR needs to do something about the bumping. I just believe that with the cars being as closely made as they are, and as close as they are from number one to number 40 on these tracks, it's hard to pass people. I get it, okay? But isn't there proven facts that some of these guys are just better at super speedways than others, and the ones that are not have to bump their way to get to where they're going? Bumping causes 15-car pileups.
We've had 15-car pileups for 40 years. That's not anything new.
I get it.
Now, I understand what you're saying. You know, the bumping causes the cars to be unstable. They set them up to be bumped, to be hit. But then you get down to the end of the race, and you get a little too excited. You get a little too aggressive. Got to go, got to go, got to go. And those things happen. But the big one has happened since 80s, 90s, 70s. That's always happened.
I totally agree. Now, I'm going to say this too, and I'm going to let Jacob get in here because this really warmed my heart. After watching Ryan Preece take the ride of a lifetime, which is 2 years in a row, my friend.
This year or last year? Which time?
Yeah, I mean, it is 2 years in a row. He said when the front end of that car got up in the air, the only thing he thought about was his daughter. That really just warmed my heart. Kudos to NASCAR with the safety, though. That was, excuse my language for here on the road, that was one hell of a lick that he took into that wall after being up in the air. Got out of that car and waved at the crowd.
Yeah, you know, it was actually 2 Augusts ago, not this past August, but the August before when he did that barrel roll on the back stretch. And, you know, he didn't come away from that one as unscathed as it was Sunday. But, yes, the advancements in NASCAR compared to the way they were 24, 25 years ago, they've come a long way. And that's the difference between going out in the ambulance or going out in the airplane.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not a proponent of the bumping. I don't have a problem with bumping on the backstretch or maybe even the front stretch. But when you get into the turns, leave it alone. I mean, but
right. But most of the accidents happen in the middle of the backstretch.
They do.
Most of them do.
You're right.
To position themselves for the turn.
Now, I will ask you guys both. Y'all banter against each other. Other than the bumping and the big wrecks and our guys, most of our guys being taken out of it, how'd you like the racing?
It was exciting, you know, kind of a replay of what we saw at Talladega last year in the fall, 3 wide, you know, 1 to 41, this Daytona 500, and, you know, 3 wide, all that, and really didn't know who was going to win until that last lap, and, you know, I don't even think the winner knew he was going to win until the last 100 feet.
You know, we look back at these restrictor plate races, and in quotations I say that, but the big tracks, Talladega, Daytona, Atlanta, starting to kind of get into that mold. It's, you know, wide open the whole time. When they make it back on the white flag lap to the start-finish line, it's the most beautiful thing in sports.
Yeah.
They're 4, 5, 6, 7 fan wide at Talladega, 3, 4 fanned out at Daytona. When they make it back, it is amazing.
And I've seen it so many times in the past. I'm going to say kudos to NASCAR for one thing last Sunday. When that big one happened, they could have thrown that yellow flag right then, and they didn't. They waited until the leaders got back to the start-finish line.
It made it easier for them, but I've got an issue with that. So we set the precedent Thursday night in the duels. We threw the caution as soon as it happened.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I get the race is a bigger thing, more important. Let's let it play out. But I'm a big believer in consistency and didn't really see it there. And Ryan Preece just went upside down. Maybe that wasn't the time to kind of hold off on the caution.
Now, forgive me for asking this. I'm trying to remember. Thursday night in the duel, like Clint was talking about, you know, Austin Centric was battling with
Eric Jones.
Thank you. And the only problem I did have a problem because it was the same kind of thing as Sunday when they didn't throw the caution. But my thing is that Sunday, why do you let one of them go to the start-finish line to celebrate and you haven't made a decision yet? You understand? Eric Jones went all the way out to the track on his car, stopped on the start-finish line, was out of his car fixing to grab the checkered flag, and they told him, you're not the winner.
They said we haven't announced a winner yet. He didn't even know it was under conversation because he beat Austin back to the line so bad.
Right, but somebody should have said, hey, don't go out there yet.
You know, in everything we do, whether it's at our daily jobs or at home, we want consistency and communication. And
absolutely.
Didn't meet that mark on Thursday night.
Well, I'm going to get us to our next segment because Jacob Bassett is going to have some communication that NASCAR came down with after Sunday's race. We hadn't talked about that yet. Some people got popped pretty good on the wrist. He'll tell us who that is. And then we'll preview Hotlanta. Let's all just go over there. NASCAR gurus, it is the Loose Lug Nuts, Jacob Bassett, Clint Wright with me. We're talking Daytona. I thought the race was great. I'll tell you this, nobody complained about waiting 4.5 hours for a rain delay. I seen it coming. All the rain that was here Saturday night and the storms that hit us on the Sunday morning were actually down there at that time. I saw it coming even before they showed it on the TV, but that place has got lights, Clint. Me and you've been there when they had them lights on, and they were going to finish that race.
Yeah, afternoon TV got a little scarce. The Genesis was on, you know, watching the PGA Tour, and all of a sudden you kind of started flipping around, going back, going, come on, NASCAR, let's get rid of that rain.
Yeah, and because the race, I don't know, was so prestigious and all these guys trying to get everything to the front, some people tried it a little too hard, Jacob, and got popped on the wrist.
Yeah, that would be your fourth place finisher, Mr. Chase Briscoe. You know, we talk about him a lot. You know, he probably had nothing to do with it. It's all on the crew. There was a modification done to the rear spoiler bracket, which is a single source part. And a single source part in NASCAR, you cannot modify. So NASCAR told Joe Gibbs, give me $100,000. We'll dock you 10 playoff points, 100 driver points, and we'll suspend James Small, the crew chief, for 4 races.
It's pretty stiff.
Well, watching qualifying last Wednesday night, Chase Briscoe was 2/10 clear of the field. Doesn't sound like much, but as tight as we talked about everybody being, you just kind of felt like,
what's different? 2/10 is a lot.
And 2/10 of a second is you can't even blink your eye. But unfortunately, at Daytona, that's probably over about 2.5-3 car lengths, which is a tremendous amount with how close the cars are now.
So how fast, how many seconds does it take them to go around the track there, 47, 48?
You all over it, 47 okay. And change.
So I'm thinking 47 and change. Or think of 2/10. You run 200 laps. 2/10 may not seem like a lot, but if you've got 2/10 over the field in 200 laps, you'll lap the field. You're right. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But NASCAR came down heavy. Listen, the biggest thing that I want to see with NASCAR is consistency. Award these race winners that bump somebody or like what we saw last year with the number 3 car. You know, just be consistent. Do not make up the rules as you go along. I hate that worse than anything in the world. And NASCAR over the years have seemed to do that to some extent. I just want to see consistency. If you're going to find these guys on Joe Gibbs Racing for this thing, I tell you what, when you go to California 6 weeks from now and somebody does the same thing, you know what? Pop them same way.
I agree with that. You know, a lot, you know, somebody once said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. You know, I think that was – Harry Hyde back in the day said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And these days, if you get caught cheating, you know, it's a significant thing. I mean, it can make or break your season just for one small thing.
Well, ask you something. Switch gears, no pun intended with NASCAR here, but to college football. I'm just going to bring this up about not if you're not cheating, you're not trying. For years, players have been paid long before NIL and long before the transfer portal, okay? My thing is this. Why do you think so far they have not come up with a cap that somebody could be paid or on the transfer portal how much NIL they can get? They haven't come up with a cap yet because when they do, somebody's going to cheat and find a way to get to the higher ground.
It's coming, though. I mean, you know, you talked about yesteryear in NASCAR, Jacob. You said the old school days, you know, Harry was around in the late 70s and the 80s and as a crew chief, and if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And then you think about it, over the course of 30 years comes along, how much better the rule makers are, the law checkers are, you know, who goes and inspects the car, the process. It's developed so much. The same thing's going to happen with NIL and football.
Absolutely.
It's going to develop. It's going to be so restricted, so controlled, that there'll be so many subsections of rules, you know, that they'll add amendments and adjustments, and it'll be the same way in 30 years.
But somebody will find a loophole always.
Every time.
Now, because you think back to the 80s and the 90s with Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham. I don't know if you remember the old phrase that the cat in the hat said, hey, Ray, what are you putting in them tires? And Ray said, air. There were several races where he came in on the last pit stop, and instead of putting four on like everybody else did, he put two on, and all of a sudden he's 5 miles an hour faster than everybody else. That may not be the tires. Did you ever think about that? I mean, I'm not saying they were cheating. I'm just saying that was the one way of everybody else accusing them of cheating.
Darrell Waltrip said it best. He said, if you got a cat out there who's 2 seconds a lap faster than everybody else, I guarantee you he's cheating and we ain't trying hard enough.
That's right. So got a little pop on the wrist for some people this week. Hey, we're going to Hot Atlanta next week. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. And then we're going to have our famous picks. Nobody got lucky at Daytona, but we were all around the front, though. I'm here to tell you, we'll see who's going to win at Hot Atlanta. The Loose Lug Nuts in studio with me, Jacob Bassett, Clint Wright. We're talking Daytona from last week. Now we're going to shift gears again, no pun intended. We're going to go to Hot Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta has changed so much. You all will not remember this. This was probably before both of you guys were born. I can remember watching a race at Atlanta one year, right after Daytona, second race of the year, where they raced in the snow for a little while. And then it got so heavy they had to call it off and do it on Monday. But things have changed now, of course, with lights and all that. But the configuration of this track has changed too, Jacob.
It's changed like two or three times. You talk about when it snowed that year, it was actually an oval. Now it's a quad-shaped oval like Charlotte. And a couple of years ago, they added some degrees to the banking and made it into one of those drafting tracks.
They say a lot of times – in NASCAR, I've heard drivers say going into that first turn at Pocono where you're flat and you got four and five wide and you got to get it down to one and you're going in there almost 200 miles an hour. I've heard some people say coming into the dog leg at Charlotte is a treacherous place to drive. Texas the same way. Talladega's that way all the way around. But I've heard many, many drivers say, Clint, that when you go into Atlanta, it's white knuckle all the way around.
Well, they put the new pavement down, and just like your streetcar, when you get out there on new pavement, you can tell a difference. The ride's smoother, you know, you're not having to work as hard on your engine, so you're performing with more power. You're easier to get to top speed and maintain that, and you've got everybody else around you feeling the same thing, and now you got 40 cars on top of one another all in a cardboard box trying to be first place.
And when that new pavement's down, Jacob, the old adage phrase, it also makes them 10-foot tall and bulletproof, too. They think they can do anything with it.
Yeah, and, you know, with that new pavement came another quirk at Atlanta, and that's the pit road. You know, you're coming off the back stretch, going into turn three. That's where pit road starts. You got to drop it down to 90 miles an hour right there, and then when you get out of turn four, you got to hit that 55 pit road speed.
David, you said earlier, hats off to NASCAR for safety. Just making that change where you're not going from 180 miles an hour in the middle of turn three, sticking your finger out the window saying you're coming to pit road and causing a major kerfuffle behind you. Now there's a much safer practice in there. That's a big deal.
One thing I will say is we'll go back to I want to get your guys' opinions on this for about Daytona. One more thing. When a guy needs to get to pit road for gas and he's on that outside lane, they can go sometimes four or five laps without being able to get there. And the announcers are talking about, well, you got to motion those guys behind you, you got to do this, do that. You're going 210 miles an hour with 39 of the best friends around you. You can't one bobble and it takes out the whole field.
Those 20 guys below you do not want you to their inside. They don't want you in the same line. They're not going to lift and wave and, you know, give you the thumbs up on your way by. No, they don't want you to pit. They know that's what you want to do, and they want to stop you from doing it. This is competition.
All right, so Atlanta, what is it, 1.66? Is that right?
Or I think that sounds right.
I think it's 1.66. Used to be 334 laps. Mm-hmm. To make up the 500, is that still the? I think that's still the lap. But listen, we're going to get into our picks next week. Here in the next segment. But Atlanta's always some great racing, and I think the one that just sticks out in my mind more than anything is when Kevin Harvick won after the week that we lost Dale Earnhardt at Atlanta.
What a cool story!
I mean, that was it.
And even the race before that, when it was Dale Earnhardt and Bobby Labonte.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of cool things happen at Atlanta. We're going to talk about who our picks are going to be. Winner and long shot. When we come back, we'll see if any of those dogs can get to the finish line first on the Loose Lug Nuts. Well, the Loose Lug Nuts are coming out of turn four, and it is not 334 laps. I've been pleasantly surprised by Jacob that this is not the 500. This is the 400-miler at Atlanta, so it's 200 and what?
260.
260 laps. Still a big race and a long race, really. It'll take them a while to do this because there'll be a lot of cautions. There'll be a lot of guys that'll run around a rail, and then that rail will break. So, all right, Clint was the closest finisher last week, I'm going to let him go first with your race winner only.
All right, so my brain tells me to take any Penske car with a 2 in it, and I think I'd be okay. But I'm going to go with my heart and with what makes NASCAR better. Come on, Kyle Busch. Put that 8 car in victory lane. Enough of this winless streak. Let's see you back where you need to be.
You know what? I thought for a while he was going to get it done last week. He's yet to win the Daytona 500 in 20 years.
20 so, tries.
So, Jacob, did he take your pick?
Okay. He sure did.
Well, you probably are going to take mine, so go ahead.
Well, if you look at the finish last year when Daniel Suarez won closest finish ever, Kyle Busch was on one half of that finish on the losing end, and the other half was a Penske car with the number 2 on the end. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney.
Ryan Blaney. How about that? Y'all are going to really, really think that I have lost my mind here because I told you I would never take Logano or Denny Hamlin, and I'm not going to, but I'm going to take your guy's favorite. Hometown boy Chase Elliott comes to victory lane and rings that bell.
Popular pick. Popular pick.
Very good pick.
He ran really well Sunday at Daytona. Really did. All right, Clint, what about a long shot?
So – you're going to be hard-pressed this year to convince me to not pick the 21 car as my long shot this year because one of the absolute coolest things I've ever watched in the sport of NASCAR happened Thursday night in one of the dual races. It was with Justin Allgaier, the Dale Earnhardt entry for the Daytona single car 500 one time this year, and Josh Berry got in the third lane with him, used to drive for Junior in the Xfinity Series, and help push that car into a qualifying spot for the race. Wow. You're going to be hard-pressed to see me ever pick against 21 this year.
I'm going to go with another former JR Motorsports driver who quietly had a good race Sunday. He now drives in a Ford. It's a number 4. No longer Stuart Haas Racing. It's a front row entry, and that is Noah Gragson.
Noah Gragson, that's a good pick too. I'm going to take somebody that I think has got a little momentum on his side. To me, he had the best car in the Daytona 500. He won one of his qualifying races. I'm going with Austin Cindric.
You know, as much as we talk negative about him for an 18-month stretch on this show, it's really neat to see the turnaround.
And you and I saw him bring home the checkered flag at Daytona in 2022.
He got it done then. He's definitely heating up as far as, you know, how that car runs, how it performs. Went through a heck of a stretch in the playoffs. I mean, had a shot to be a top four, you know, final four contender.
I think that win was at Iowa he won last year. Mm-hmm. And that kind of turned his fortunes around. Yeah.
266 laps. What time? I know it's on Fox, and we're looking at what time Sunday afternoon, Sunday noon.
So McCurley's predicting overtime, a six-lap overtime, by
the
way.
Oh, so 260. I'm so
that's high potential, though.
You probably will. Yeah, you probably will see a couple of green white checkers. The fortune teller
across the way right there. So it'll come on at 2 o'clock on Fox, and you can catch the pre-race and all that.
That's 2 o'clock Central time. Okay, so time for us to get a burger or something and settle in. How about that? We'll do it. Hey, NASCAR, it is the Loose Lug Nuts. They'll be back next Friday.